The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Some time ago, a brother priest of mine was giving a homily. He was really getting into it, too. He was getting excited, animated. He started moving his arms all over the place, going crazy with them like he tends to do. And then at one point during his exceptionally long homily, because you know how some priests get, he accidentally makes a swiping gesture, and all of his notes tumble to the floor. So he goes down from the ambo, he picks them up, gathers them, comes back up, starts tapping them together, says, okay, now where was I? Without missing a beat, someone in the front row shouts out, "Somewhere near the end, Father." Now we're nowhere near the end of my homily, but we are at the end of the liturgical year. Every last Sunday of the liturgical year, we celebrate a great solemnity in the church, the feast of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. This day serves as a yearly reminder that Christ must reign not just in heaven, but over all creation, most importantly, in our minds, in our wills, and in our hearts. He must reign in our minds so that we can think like him. He must reign in our wills so we can act like him. And he must reign in our hearts so that we can love like him. And this is not easy to do. But that's exactly what Christians have been trying to do for the last 2,000 years. There's one example I want to share with you, and many of you have probably heard this story of this saint many times, but it's St. Thomas More. And so if you have heard it, tough, I'm going to tell it to you again. St. Thomas More is a patron saint of lawyers, politicians, civil servants, and a list of other things. He himself was a brilliant lawyer and diplomat in England in the 16th century. And if you know anything about history, this is a time of King Henry VIII and the great fiasco that was taking place during that time. But at some point during Thomas's career, he was noticed by King Henry. And two of the things that King Henry noticed is that Thomas More had this profound devotion to the crown and to his country, which is patriotism, an authentic form of patriotism. However, because of those two qualities, King Henry VIII elevated Thomas More to the position of Lord Chancellor, which is a huge, huge, high, prestigious role in England. What Henry VIII did not know, however, was that Thomas More's first loyalty was not to his country nor to the crown, but to Christ, first and foremost, the true King of Kings. And so when Henry decided to do some shady stuff to get rid of his first wife so that he could marry his second wife and subsequent wives, that was an issue for Thomas. But more than that, it became a serious issue when King Henry VIII declared himself the head of the church in England. And so instead of accepting this, as many of the other politicians of his time did, instead of accepting it, he resigned from his post. And so here we have this brilliant man, this with a brilliant mind that's devoted to his country, who says, you know what, this is wrong. And he steps down. And so because of this, his life is completely flipped upside down. So it's very much the exact opposite of a rags to riches kind of story. He goes from the premier posting in England to effectively somebody that's living in squalor, all because of his devotion to Christ. Due to More's refusal to give his support to the king, he was arrested, convicted of treason, imprisoned in the Tower of London, and finally beheaded. On his way to the execution, More encouraged the people around him to remain steadfast in their faith. He was the one heading to the gallows, and everyone else was standing as crowds along the way, and he was encouraging them, trying to uplift their spirits as if they were the ones being executed. But what's important about this, though, is his last words, his last ever recorded words. This is probably the part that a lot of us remember. But he said, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. For More, it was not simply enough to confess Christ privately in the safety of his heart and home. Instead, he believed one must also confess Christ in one's business, in their professional life, and in society. Even if that means that we lose everything. For Thomas More, Christ really was King of the universe. He was the King of all kings. And so he could not condone what King Henry VIII was doing. But to do this kind of thing, to take this action, requires a lot. It requires commitment and courage. But above all, it requires humility, which is nothing more than being able to see the truth of the situation. For the two thieves in the gospel today, one had no humility and no conviction, and the only commitment he had was to himself. The other thief, however, see how committed he was to the truth, how convicted he was of his own unworthiness, and how much humility this took to see the truth that he was condemned justly while Christ was not. It was humility that saved that second thief. My brothers and sisters, today is solemnity of Christ the King. It serves to remind us that Christ is King of all creation, and most importantly, needs to be King of us, of our minds, our wills, and our hearts. It's a perennial calling, really, to be more closely united with this adorable King of ours, so that the hour of our death, our King might turn and say to us, "Today, you will be with me in paradise."